But I did put a couple more in there because we do like to have you put your eyes on the Word. But I only gave them a few instead of. I'm going to refer to probably 50 scriptures throughout the message. And you can look them up, okay? Instead of pausing and trying to put them up on the screen for you to read every single one, we're just going to hit a few key points about it, okay? I'm more of a manna type preacher. You know what manna is? The word manna actually means what is it? So when I'm preaching, you'll be saying, what's he talking about? No. Well, it's manna, like, because you can only take what you've been given that day. You don't try to hoard up a whole bunch of stuff to last you forever. You just take what it is for that day. So for today, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to focus on a couple points. And the number one point, I heard it twice today when I came in here. Our keyboard player said it. And he was like dancing all over the keyboards before rehearsal and going up and down and up and down and stuff. I said, wow, you really got happy fingers today. You know, we heard the Penguins with happy feet, and he's happy fingers over here jumping all over the place. He goes, I got energy today. I got the energy. I said, I'm going to talk about energy today. How'd you like that? And it didn't come just from, coffee. It came from inside. There's a river of life flowing inside of you. Did you know that? If you're a born-again Christian, there's a river of life. There's a fountain of life springing up, a well that springs up from within your belly. Jesus said, it shall spring up from the matrix, the innermost part of your being, and it'll flood the rest of your body and your being. And this he spoke of the Spirit. It's in John 7:32, if you wanted to read it. See, you have to get the CD and then make reference to all these scriptures, because we're not going to throw a lot of them up there today. But we are going to throw a couple up there today, and let's just open with a word of prayer, and we'll dig right in and start having some bread. Father, we thank you so much for the Word. You said man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's fresh like manna every day. You have bread every day for us. You have a word every day for us. You are alive, not only up in heaven, seated on the throne of grace with Jesus Christ seated at the right hand, but you are alive in us through the power of your anointing, your Holy Spirit. The life-giving force that is our source is you, Lord. It's your presence. And there's no other place, Lord God, that we can go to find the words to eternal life, to find the truth that we need to stand on. And then having done all, we will stand and thank you, Lord. Yes, there's an enemy. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there's a world out there with a crazy philosophy. Yes, there's the flesh that fights against the Spirit. But, Lord, you are greater than all these things. Greater is he that is in me, you, Lord God, than he that is in this world, any other force, any other power. There is none greater than you, Lord. So we ask you to have your way today in your word. Let it come alive to us in our spirits that we might not only feed off of it today, but we might use that nutrition from the power of your word to energize us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And we thank you for that, Father. Just sense your presence and your spirit here in this place, here in our hearts, in our lives. You've been in our past, you're here in our present, and you're going to be there for our entire future. Same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you so much for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Sometimes when you start praying, you just feel like closing your eyes and keep going. Just because you're in the presence of the Lord when you're praying. You know, prayer gets his attention. Praise gets his presence. He inhabits the praises. That's the scripture I'm talking about. Okay. I told you I'm going to talk about a lot of scriptures today. But look, let's start off with Luke chapter 3. This was a curious thought when the Lord brought it to me, because I'd never thought of it this way, and you might have heard these scriptures a lot. I did label these in order, right, Ron? Luke, the first one I gave you was Luke 3, 15 and 16. All righty. Now as the people were in expectation. Boy, right there. Are people in expectation? I believe so, but I believe they don't know what to expect sometimes. But they're in expectation for something, and that's what these people were. They were in expectation. The world is in expectation. Christians, we are in expectation. Expect something. We're in expectation for something, and I hope it's miraculous power, and I hope it's something super on the natural that we're all involved with, because God is a supernatural God, and he deals more in the spirit realm than he does in the physical realm. He manifests himself in the physical realm by his spirit through physical beings like you and me. Boy, I could go off on that one for a few days too, but anyways, are we in expectation of what? of God's love, of God's grace, of God's peace, of God's joy? How about all the fruit of the Spirit? Are we in expectation of all that God has provided to us by grace? That's the definition I heard, and I really like this definition. I think it was Andrew Womack who did it. Said this definition is that what faith is. Faith is just believing and expecting and receiving all the grace is provided. That's it. It's not trying to believe for something that grace hasn't provided. Like, you know, a new wife, a Cadillac, a new car, all those things. Maybe grace in the Bible hasn't specifically said those things, but you can have faith for the things that God has said in the Word that you can have. You can have love. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have long-suffering or kindness and gentleness and meekness and faithfulness. And you can have all these characteristics flowing in your life all the time. They're available all the time, what grace has provided. Salvation, anyone, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Anyone can be saved. Matter of fact, the sins of the whole world have been paid for. It says it in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says he not only died for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So their sins are already taken care of and paid for if only they'll come and receive with expectation, receive the gift, the free gift. Talk about the gift that keeps on giving. This is the eternal one. The gift of eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would come and believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's the gift that keeps on giving forever. So expectation. And all reasoned in their hearts about John. See, they were expecting something. Is he the one? Is he the Christ that should come? Because he sounded like it. He had that spirit in him. He had that spirit of Elijah. He had that spirit of preparation for the coming of Christ Jesus. They were sensing something. The Holy Spirit was prepping people, was positioning people for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the main character that the Holy Spirit was using was John the Baptist in that day, in that region. So that's why they were all in expectation, and they reasoned in their heart, is he the one? Is he the one that should come? There was an expectation of something happening that God was stirring his people up and preparing for, and I feel like that's happening today too, in our church, in our community. I know stuff's happening all around the world, and we see stuff on TV and all that, but I care about what's going on in my Jerusalem and in Samaria and the uttermost parts, you know, starting here, in our own church, in your own house, in your own community, your neighborhood, on your jobs, places you work at. So they reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not. And then verse 16, and John answered them and said, I indeed baptize you with water. His baptism was the baptism, they call it, of repentance. He was saying, turn to God. Turn your hearts from the way you've been believing things. Turn your hearts from the law. Turn your hearts from the old way of doing things. Turn your hearts from the flesh into the Spirit, because he's coming. The anointed one is coming. The one who is anointed by the power of God is coming. And so he baptized with repentance to get people's hearts prepared, because repentance is one of the first things that prepares you to meet Jesus Christ. If you didn't realize that, and remember when you first came? That was the first thing you were doing, like, you were repenting. Oh my God, I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. See, repentance was what prepared you to receive the forgiveness and the price that Jesus paid for the penalty of our sins. Repentance was beginning. So it was also the beginning of the whole ministry of Jesus Christ. It was brought in by repentance through John. And one mightier than, he said, I only do it with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. And that was just a ultimate sign of humility. You know, he said, I must decrease, but he must increase. John was humbling himself and trying to back out of the light so that Jesus, the light of the world, could come and step in and start his ministry. And he said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, this was curious. The Holy Spirit stopped me here, and I was thinking, like, okay. Here John is preparing for the coming Messiah, announcing that he's coming. And he doesn't say, he's going to come and bring the kingdom. He's going to come and he's going to heal all the sick, and he's going to cast out devils, and he's going to teach you parables and teach you all the things to the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus did. So why didn't he announce that that's what he was going to do? What he did announce was that he's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Okay, let's move over to verse 21 and verse 22 of that same chapter, right? So a little further down, so when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. So he had walked up along the shore. John brought him in the water, baptized him. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And then verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove. You know, we use the dove as the symbol of it. It was like a dove, but it was just like a form came coming down and resting. See, the word upon, if you search it out later, it wasn't only upon him. Matter of fact, I didn't tell Ron this, but in John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. So he was filled. It wasn't just upon him. Like in the Old Testament, when David said, the Spirit of the Lord is come, don't take not the Holy Spirit from me. It wasn't from within me. It was from upon me. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with people. The anointing was with people, but it wasn't in them yet. Jesus said he will be with you, but he will also be in you when he talked of the Holy Spirit to the disciples and to all the rest of us. So there's a little difference there. So the dove came down, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay. So I gave you John chapter 1 also, right? And it corresponds to this, but it adds a little something else that we didn't see. In John chapter 1, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. See, that part wasn't in the account from Luke. Behold, the Lamb of God. And that's significant. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. So see, he was the preparation. The voice crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. That was John. It was talked about in Isaiah of him. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Actually, when you study it out, it's, like it says, it's within him. It came in him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, so it was by revelation. See, Apostle Paul talked about this too. He said, no man taught me. I got the stuff I got from God by revelation knowledge. That's the most important way you can get information or understanding or wisdom from God is by revelation knowledge. When the light comes on and it's like, oh my God, I read that 50 times before. I never saw that like that before. And then it happens again to the same scripture. I never saw that before. The revelation just keeps going and going. It's like when you first see it, it's like the tip of the iceberg. And then you dunk your head underwater. It's like, whoa, there's a whole lot more. And it just the revelation just keeps coming. It's just like a river that just continues to flow from your belly. That river of life, like I talked about, that springs up within you. It's a river of understanding, of revelation, of knowledge. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Even Jesus himself got what he got when he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Before that, I mean, he had wisdom because it says he grew in stature and wisdom, and they were astonished at the wisdom he had. But the power, the dunamis, the power to perform the signs and wonders and miracles came from the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was a man that was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Very significant. I wish I had like 6 months to talk about that. But anyways, so it says, but he who sent me to baptize said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. There again, here's the one. He's the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Why did he make that a significant part of announcing the coming of Jesus Christ instead of pointing to the cross and pointing to the sacrifice for sins, pointing to the signs and wonders and miracles and the casting out of devils, all the stuff that Jesus did, teaching miracles and going about doing good. It says how God, you know, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The anointing was on him to do these things. But the main emphasis John put on the introduction to the Messiah coming to the planet, coming to mankind, was that he's the one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So part A of what we know about God's plan is, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's the first most significant, important part. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Pointing to Jesus is the number one purpose for the announcement that John had, even though Luke didn't talk about it, because he said he's the one who's going to take away the sins of the world. Like I said in 1 John, the whole world, whosoever will may come. But then he also added part B to it and said, but he's also the one who's going to baptize with Holy Ghost and fire. That is very important. That to me is as important as part A on this earth. Part A is the most important thing for all eternity. Okay, you get saved, your sins get forgiven, your ticket is stamped for all eternity. For, like I said in John 3:16, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So part A, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. God taking away our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we, till the day we die, will fight this flesh and fight sin in this world and fight our flesh. Knowing this, he offers unconditional grace and forgiveness. Behold the Lamb, the innocent Lamb who is sinless. He will die for the sins of the world. So that was the first announcement. That was the most important. But coupled along with that announcement was that he is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I believe we're doing real good on part A in talking about Jesus and the cross and witnessing and things like that. But I don't think we're doing so great in part B, in being baptized with Holy Ghost and fire. And there's two different things going on here with Holy Ghost and fire. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost is a separate experience. I taught, I don't know, it was last year or so, on the three baptisms. The baptism number one is the Holy Spirit bringing you into the body of Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit into Jesus Christ. That is the first baptism, that every single believer, when they look to the cross and say, Lord, I need you as my Savior, the Holy Spirit is the one who is causing this working, causing this conviction of sin in our lives, drawing us to the cross. And by the way, don't forget, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This is God I'm talking about. When you say the Holy Ghost, people think, oh, that's a separate person. No, it is not. It's God. Jesus is God. God the Father is God. Great is the mystery, Paul told Timothy, how that, you know, Christ came in the flesh, was seen of angels. It's a mystery how we know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. The Holy Trinity is a mystery to us. But there is significance in understanding that it is all, he is all God. God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. So God, as the Holy Spirit, was a very significant part B in what salvation was all about. And he wants to come and manifest himself. The second way of baptism is the water, of course. Like the first way is you are all baptized into the body by one Spirit. That's the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that brings us in and baptizes us, immerses us into salvation through Jesus Christ on the cross, believing that the Lamb of God died for our sins. Another one is water. Everybody understands what water baptism is. It's a significant representation of what happened whenever you accepted Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new, the sin gets washed away, we come out of new creation in Christ Jesus, behold, all things are new, not because of your behavior, not because of behavior modification, not because you start doing things better, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by his grace, by his Spirit alone, is how we are saved. So that's what the Holy Spirit's work is in salvation, and the baptism of the water representing that. And then the third baptism the Bible talks about is the immersion in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling us for living on this planet in a supernatural way, in a spiritual way. You see, because we are supposed to be more spiritual than we are carnal. But unfortunately, sometimes we tend to live more for the carnal nature than we do for the spirit. And we are spirit, soul, and body. We did a teaching on that too. Your spirit is now one with the Lord. It says, he who is the Lord's is one spirit with him. He who belongs to Jesus is one spirit. Jesus himself prayed, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. Do you think that prayer got answered? Yes. What is that oneness? It's oneness in spirit. You're not one with him in the flesh. You're not one with him in your brain and your thinking and your intellect yet. You need to have that renewed. It says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our mind doesn't get changed, our body doesn't get changed. What happens? Our spirit is born again, born from above, and we become one with the Father. And everything, we are joint heirs with Christ, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans chapter 8 talks about that. And so that's the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, knowing that we are children of God. And then there's this enablement. Let's see, where did I go? Oh, Okay, let's go to the, I think the next one in order is 2 Timothy. Did I give you that? 2 Timothy, verse 1. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I don't know if you notice a lot of the songs on the radio lately. They're all about devil, no, not today. You know, you don't, no fear. My fear doesn't have a chance when I'm walking in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance. And there's all Bastelli sings about it. She's talking about, you had no place in here. You don't know me. You don't got no place in my life anymore. You know, doing it like a millennial. But anyways, it's a lot of songs about fear. And you know why I think so? I think there's a lot of fear in people. And I think God knew that. Why do you think Jesus said 36 times in his sermons, in his talks, fear not. Don't be afraid. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so astonished at this? Oh, how long do I have to be with them? Come on, when are you going to believe me? Why were you so afraid when you saw the wind and the storm and, you know, all the bad things happening to you in life? Why? Would you think I ran away or something? You know, oh, you have little faith. Come on. Why didn't you just tell the wind to be quiet? Don't you know I've given you all power and authority over all demons, over all sickness, all disease, over all the torment that fear brings? Because fear has torment. But perfect love casts out all fear, the Bible says. So what's happening is, if we have a spirit of fear, we haven't realized, now why did he put power first instead of love? Because I thought love was the most important thing. Well, you know something? The love of God is power. Because that is the most powerful force in this entire universe. Whether you realize it or not, it's not atom bombs. It's not any weapons that man can make up. It's not stars going, you know, blowing up and going nova. And even though the black holes and all this powerful stuff we're seeing, love is more powerful than all of it. Because God is love. Whew. Okay, go home now. I just feel like that settles it. That settles it. But if we don't use the power of love, and I'm not talking about Huey Lewis, but if we don't use the power of love, Back to the Future, it's the power of love. All right, but I thought of that song when I saw it. This verse reminds me of that song. Every time I see it, it's like, well, power of love, yeah, it's the power of love. And I think of him playing that guitar with those big speakers in the back, blowing away. But it's power. Love is power. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love forgives. Love heals. Love delivers. Faith works by love. If you can't get your faith to work, back up, away from faith, dwell around in love for a while, and then try to go back to faith and see if it works a little better. Okay? Because the power of love is what works faith. Hey, where'd my scripture go? I forgot about a sound mind. We didn't get to the sound mind yet. Okay, sorry. Yeah, that's where a lot of us lose it today. sound mind, self-control, discipline, the power of the ability to do things, okay? I wrote something down. I wrote, the power is the Holy Ghost. The word dunamis, that we get our word dynamite from, anytime you see the Holy Spirit's power referred to in the Bible, that Greek word is used for power. It's 14111. 1411 in the Greeks, in case you want to look it up in Strong's. And it means it's dunamis. And that's where we get our right dynamite. The power of the Holy Spirit is like dynamite against all the powers of darkness and anything else that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ. And then the love of God is the intimacy. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He enables us with the power to get intimate with God, to be able to get rid of distractions. A lot of this comes by the way he teaches us how to pray. For we know not how we ought to pray, Romans 8. We know not how we ought to pray as we ought, but the Spirit makes groanings and utterances which cannot be understood, because he knows the mind of God, and he groans through us, and it begins to come out into us, and it's part of, that's where the gift of tongues starts coming from that groaning, from that beginning of you being intimate with the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit just draw out of you from the wells of the inner spirit, places of your emotions and your beings and your feelings, and he comes in there and brings that up, and he brings it up to God in prayer, in real prayer, because we know how we ought to pray as we ought. Our prayers are like, I need this, I need that, help me there, help this, help that, help this person, help that person, give me this, give me that, oh God, where are you? Sometimes our prayers are just so shallow and so self-centered, and instead of just being intimate with God and just loving God and just having fellowship with him, and we've been brought into the fellowship of his dear son, instead of just the koinonia, the loving relationship. That Greek word koinonia means the intimacy of a relationship that is so close and so dear. And that's what the love of God is. That's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to bring. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And how does it, love is that, that's the curtain rod. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of that comes peace and joy and meekness and temperance with long suffering and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and all the qualities of the characteristics of the Spirit of God that's in us is all based on the love of God. And then, of course, a sound mind, which means having clear understanding, revelation knowledge. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Okay, a sound mind. All right, now the next one I have is in 4. And before you do number 4, before we do 2 Timothy 3, can you show me that picture I asked you to call up if you could? How many know what this is? Spam! Spam, spam, spam! No, okay, you don't know Monty Python. Okay, forget it. That was BC days anyways. All right. Spam! All right, now, I said, God, why'd you make me think of spam in the middle of this message here? Why'd you make me think of spam? And not only spam, I went to the Dollar Tree to get a couple things, and I started looking at all the products that are sold in there, and I started looking at the contents. I'm just going to give you, I'm just going to go on the nutritional little exhortation here for a minute, okay? Christians need some nutritional information. Don't go there. All right. Here, I went into the Dollar Tree, and on the back of some of the packages, like the Oreo cookies, the Twinkies, the cupcakes we give our kids and all this stuff, there's a whole column of about 30 words that half of them you don't know what they say. You don't know how to read them. You don't know how to say them. Exodexamorphotrexaphine sucralosis maxidosis. It'll burn your liver, your kidney, it'll get you on a cellular level, it'll biologically change you, it'll cause diabetes and dementia, and believe me, they're starting to discover a lot of this, genetically modified organisms. What do you think they're going to do to this organism? Okay, yeah, I know. She's like, come on, get back. Yeah, but I'm just taking a break for a minute here, because I got to explain spam. So I'm looking, oh my gosh. They're starting to wake up a little bit, you know, organic, GMO, no GMO, oh, grass-fed, oh, this and that, you know. Oh, you mean the way God wanted it to be instead of the way man tortured it to be? The man mixed it all up and messed it all up. Okay, well, how does that relate to the Holy Spirit? Well, here's how it is. Because there's food that has the impression that it's real food, but it's not. There's food that is, it pretends to be food, but it lacks the nutritional power thereof. It's fake food. Yeah, you see, he knows what scripture I'm going to go at. That's why he's laughing, right? Is that right, AJ, or no? Snide comments. Snide comments? What? Now you got to share it with all of us. What? Okay, imitation vanilla, crab meat, imitation crab. Let's see, what else is there? There's what's wrong? What's the one you liked?
But I'm not giving up Oreos.
You're not giving up Oreos.
Nope.
Take a look at the package.
I don't care.
Cut in half the ingredients, twist it, throw half away, and you'll be doing yourself a favor. Okay. Don't lick the inside. All right. I mean, no, I'm not saying nobody's perfect. I don't eat perfect either. But I mean, the more you understand, the more revelation you have about what's going on with food, the more you can take care of this earthly temple that doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to God now. The Holy Spirit told me one time, the Holy Spirit yelled, he said, "What are you doing to my house?" I said, I don't know. I'm just kind of enjoying it. Yeah, you're indulging in that garbage, and it's the house I live in? He said, "Stop it, will you? You're messing up. You're just messing up the living room. You know, it's like, come on. I was comfortable there for a while. Now you're getting me all coughed up and choked up, and we're running in the bathroom all the time. What's wrong with you?" Anyway, so, all right. So, there's food that has a pretension to be food, but it lacks the power thereof. Okay, now go to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, I believe we are, right? Oh, you keep the spam up there. Okay, it's food. It has the impression, it looks like it, but it's not really food. It's kind of a mixture and blend of stuff. Maybe a little pork in there, but there's all kinds of garbage and salt like crazy. I mean, it kept a lot of the soldiers alive during the World War, but then when they came home, they paid for it. Okay, but know this, in the last time, perilous times will come, okay? Who knows, we're heading towards the last times. You feel like we're kind of heading towards things a little bit? And, you know, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, so it doesn't mean it's going to be tomorrow. But anyways. Okay, next verse. For men will be lovers of themselves. Okay, lovers of money, boasters, proud. Oof, all over the news. Everybody wants rights to do everything that's ungodly. And they want everybody to know about it and accept it. Or else you're a bigot, intolerant, you're all this. You're all, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Anybody? Unthankful. Think, you know, God loves the unthankful as well as he loves the thankful, you know that. I'm not saying God doesn't love these people, but this is how people are getting to be worse and worse and worse and worse, especially CNN and liberals and all this stuff. Okay. Unholy. See, I said them. All right. Unholy. Next. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. You see this happening all over the place. Getting a little worse and worse as time goes on. And continuing. Traitors, headstrong, haughty. We could go on with each one of these for a while, but lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And again, here it is. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. A form of food, but it's not really food. It's junk. It's a substitute. It has some nutritional value. It may keep you alive, but not really healthy, healthy alive. It denies the power of proper nutrition. This is the kind of godliness that God said, shake us, shake them up. Shake them up. Don't let them accept less than all that I have provided by the sacrifice of the cross. Not only for salvation, but for the power of the anointing, of the baptism, of the Holy Ghost and fire in their lives. Because then they'll be nutritionally and properly strengthened to be able to endure. Because that's what the enablement of the Holy Spirit does. There's a lot of gospel out there. And you need discernment. I think one of the greatest gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. To know good from evil. To know good, better, and from best. Because, like I said in Romans 12:1, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. See, good, better, best. I mean, God loves the unthankful, but he doesn't want them to stay unthankful. God loves the unholy, but he doesn't want them to stay unholy. God loves it when we have some good stuff going on in our lives, when we spend a little good time with him. He loves it. But he'd rather have us spend the better of our time with him in intimacy. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to immerse us, if we allow ourselves to be baptized, that's what the word baptized means, to be immersed, to be full. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk. He was talking to the Ephesians. He said, be not drunk with wine where there's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Because they were all a bunch of the whole town of Ephesus was all debauchery and, you know, prostitution and drunkenness and all kinds of stuff going on. It was a very tough town. You can stuff in Revelations talks about it too. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. And I tell you, I think Colossians 1:29 was the next one I went to. Those two I gave you today. Oh, awesome. In all that Paul did, sometimes you read a whole discord of Paul say, I was stoned, I was shipwrecked, I was fasted often, I was hungry often, I was beaten, I was maligned. He's got a whole list of stuff he went through. And he always says, but none of these things bothered me. Well, I look not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So he had his eyes on the prize. He had his eyes more in the spiritual realm than in the physical realm, more on the spirit than the flesh, what he was going through. And this is one of the little quotes he had when he was talking to the Colossians. He said, to this end, I also labor, striving. Those two words, labor and striving, are like hard work. He worked hard at being who he was, the Apostle Paul, striving. But it wasn't in his own strength that he did it. He said he did it according to his working, which works in me mightily. The word working there is energia. Energy. I thought it was pronounced energia until I pushed my button and the guy said energia. So energy, where we get the bunny. Energy. He said, I did it according to his energy. The energizer that never runs out. People wonder, where do we get energy from? to live the life of a Christian. If you're worn, if you're weary, if you have anxiousness, if you don't have peace that passes understanding, I'm not saying you don't get startled. I'm not saying you don't get oh, what's going on here? Taken for a minute. But then something has to rise up within you. And that's that working. That's that energy that comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus had to have it in his own life. He needed to be anointed and baptized. How God anointed Jesus. He opened the book. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to cast out devils, to bring liberty to the captives. There was Jesus had to get anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the works he did in 3 years. And he said, guess what? Greater works than these are you going to do because I'm going to my Father. What did he mean by that? I'm going to the Father and then I'm going to send him and he will come, the Comforter. John 14 and 15, read about it, 16. And he will come and he will teach you of all things. He won't glorify himself. He won't speak of himself, but he'll remind you of everything I've said and he'll give you the enablement. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the energy which works in me mightily. That word mightily is that same dunamis, 1411 in Strong's. He'll give you the dunamis, the power, the anointing to do it. It's not going to come from yourself. It's not going to come from you modifying your behavior to try to be a perfect Christian. You're going to have to just draw on the power and the anointing that I've given you. You see, I don't know how much time I got, but I'd like to talk about Romans 7 and Romans 8 real quick. 10 after? I got time. If you got the time, I got the plate. No, okay. All right. Now, Paul talked about this. Energy. You know, we look at them like, oh, we put these apostles on pedestals, you know, and the disciples, oh my gosh. Man, they were flawed, sometimes worse than some of us even. They had a lot of flaws in them. Paul was arguing with people, and he was pretty boisterous sometimes with Mark. He got rid of him, and him and Barnabas had a fight, and then they came back and all this other stuff. And Paul, but because of his pride, that's when he opened the door and let the messenger of Satan come to buffet him. That, by the way, that wasn't from God. It was a messenger from Satan, okay. It's a whole other message there. I wish I had about a year to talk about stuff. But anyways, but the mighty power that he was talking about, the dunamis power, it doesn't come from being perfect. It doesn't come from you doing everything right, from fasting often, although you should fast often. You should deny your flesh often so that you can get into the Spirit more. You should shut the flesh down, the indulgence of the flesh. When it wants to do something, say, shut up. You're not in control. Your spirit man starts talking to your flesh. By the renewal of your mind, you start using scriptures. Now, I have not been given the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind, and you're going to listen to me. And we're not going to be drunk with wine, words, and excess. We're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to use scriptures whenever the stuff arises in our lives that we don't understand and that's attacking us from the world, the devil, the flesh. I'm going to use the scriptures, and you let the Holy Spirit start talking to you. You read the scriptures. You use the scriptures. It's the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. You know, loins got it girded about with the truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. All that armor is given to us by the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean you're perfect. See, it comes from God. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul talked about the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, I don't end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. But with the mind I serve the Lord, with my spirit I serve the Lord, I know I do, but the flesh, oh, there's no good thing that dwells in my flesh. There's nothing good in my flesh. So he realized this dichotomy of the power struggle that was going on in him. He even said it in Galatians chapter, end of chapter 4 into 5. He said, the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. These are contrary one to the other. So you can't do the things you want because you've got to continually wrestling all the time. And sometimes you're doing things you don't want to do. And sometimes you're not doing the things you want to do. So Paul said, that's the kind of person he was. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me and save me from this body of death? And then in Romans 8, he says, but there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who have a hunger to follow after the Spirit instead of the flesh. So all you need is not an ability of strength, of intestinal fortitude, and of determination, and of self-discipline to be able to walk in the Spirit. All you need is just a hunger to say, Lord, I need your help. Why do you think Jesus called him the helper? I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. And he will be there for you. Why do I always talk about the Holy Spirit so much? It's because I don't see, and I feel like the Lord wants to see more of the manifestation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit operating in his body than he does the fleshly works of righteousness that we do for him. That's a deep one. And then in chapter 8, he says, You can mortify the flesh with you can mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. Those who serve the Lord, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot please Him. You can never please God with the carnal mind, with works of righteousness. I'll do this. I'll be good here. I'll bake a cake for my neighbor. Lord, well, I went to church 3 times. I did fasting. I did all this. That stuff is, I'll spit you out of my mouth. It's lukewarm. It's trying to please God with works. It's trying to please God with self-effort instead of receiving what He has given us to enable us to live a holy life. See, we're not holy because of our behavior. We're holy because He gave us His righteousness. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He became sin so that I could become righteous. Holiness does not come from behavior modification. It does not come from self-effort. It does not come from saying the right things, doing the right things. Those things will come as a result of you living and looking for the help and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you surrender to that leading, just like Jesus did in John chapter 4, verse 1, which we don't have on the screen, but if we did, it would be awesome. But don't have to. I tried to restrain myself from giving him so many scriptures. You know how it goes, Vince. Rattle them all off. But anyways, in John 4, verse 1, it says, "And so Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So when you get full of the Holy Spirit, you will become led of the Holy Spirit. You know what the first thing He's going to lead you to do is? It's not going to be a work. See, you think, I'll study the Bible, I'll fast, I'll pray. It's going to be maybe it wasn't 4. How come it's 4:1 in my Bible? Wait. What were we in? We were in Luke. Sorry. That's why I didn't give it. That's why. Luke 4:1. Okay, anyways. What's the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to do in you? It's going to produce love. That is the fruit. Love what? First of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. See, Luke 1 was the one, yeah. That's the first thing he's going to do, is he's going to cause you to be more intimate with the Lord. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to send him, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Loving God is the very first commandment of all commandments. The first two, the two commandments that the whole Old Testament and prophets are all encompassed in is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself, or love your neighbor as I have loved you. Another way Jesus put it too. Those two commandments. If you could focus on asking the Holy Spirit to help you, just to do those two things right there, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's a surrender. See, we win by surrendering. We become victorious. We become more than conquerors by surrendering and yielding, being led by the Spirit, even into the wilderness. You know, he may say, turn off the TV, spend some time, more time in the Bible. Now, you don't need to go out and do this today. Why don't you take that money and give it to the poor instead of going out and eating this week? He'll just start letting love flow through you with acts of kindness that you'll become one of the most giving, generous people in the world of your time, of your effort, of your energy, of your finances, of your heart. Matter of fact, you cannot love with a godly kind of love without the Holy Spirit being manifested in your life. Romans chapter 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By who? Anybody know those scriptures? Yeah. See, how come I only got 4 voices? Don't you know your Bible? All right, I don't mean to say that in a condemning way. What I'm trying to do is like stir up, you know, Paul Peter said it. I want to stir up your pure minds. Just stir you up to get you more hungry and thirsty for the power and anointing that God has provided. I want you to seek the baptism, the immersion, the infilling of the Holy Spirit over and over again. Whenever the cup runs low again and you got to get refilled, just, you know what? I was thinking of my DVR, and I felt like the Lord said to mention this too. Look at our DVR. You come over to my house, turn on our DVR, and you'll see a couple dumb programs in there. You're like, I like Psych. I don't know. Psych is just so funny. It references the 80s a lot and a lot of things that the millennials might not understand. But I mean, I'm surprised. Sometimes I mention up here and half the priest is like, huh? What are you talking about? You know, I'm 64 and these guys are like 30, 40, whatever. Anyways, but psych is a nice one. But so I do have like a lot of episodes of psych in there. But mainly, if you look in there, you'll see about 8 or 10 different preachers with all their messages. And I like to just watch them in the morning, at night. Get the not. I don't care about a particular person. Because like it says in 1 John chapter 2, it says, you have an unction that you've received from God. You have an anointing you've received that you need not a man should teach you. But the anointing that you received will teach you all things. If you let the anointing teach you, no matter what preacher you're listening to, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and give you something. Sometimes I'll turn it on and I'm like, I don't even know this guy. Who is it? But okay, I'll listen. You know, sometimes I feel like the Lord just wants me to turn a channel and watch something and I'll see it. Oh, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He always wants to talk to us. God never wants to just be silent. The only time he's going to be silent in the New Testament is in the book of Revelations for a half an hour when you're looking for somebody who's worthy to open the scrolls. And then that silence is going to be ended by the Lamb. Anyways, so check your DVRs. I'm going to get a little stupid tech because I don't know it all. But check all your posts. Check all your Facebook garbage. Your stuff. Check all your tweets. Check all your Instagrams. Check all this. Is it more the spirit than the flesh? Is it more carnal than spiritual? If it is, why don't you ask the Lord to just kind of flip that around, and instead of spam Christianity, instead of a form of godliness, why don't you say, God, I want to just walk under the anointing of your love and your power. Because that's what you've given. You've given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fall in love with him over and over again. Go back to the first time you met him, that first love. Have you left that first love? And has it been substituted by distractions and by the things of the world and by other people and by stuff that happens? And I know stuff happens. Man, it knocks you for a loop sometimes. But whenever you get knocked for a loop, just come back. Come back to the first love. When you get knocked around by the devil attacking you, by sickness, by disease, by financial trouble, by your family, by your kids, by your mother-in-law, by whoever, just come back to Jesus all the time. And make him the most important love of your life. Let God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit encompass the entirety of your number one love. Okay? All right, that's it. My wife said, that's it, you're done. I never used to listen. I threw my watch over at her one time, but that didn't go so well. So I don't wear a watch anymore. She won't let me. So we're gonna pray. We're gonna praise team. Come on up if you would. Oh wait, I am the praise team. I gotta go up. Hang on. I am part of it. I gotta go hook up. So hey, give us a second here. And we're gonna take the offering. As we do every service at the end of the service. Well, as I said, we get to have Austin and Tori here today, but then they got to go away. So we're going to enjoy one more song with them. And as you prepare yourself to give, as the Lord leads you to give, and we thank, you know what? We thank the faithful givers who are obedient to hear what the Lord says as far as giving of your tithes and offerings, because it just does, it helps run the church, it helps run the outreaches, the missions we have, the building fund, all the things that we do. You guys are so faithful to give, and I just wanted to say thank you for that personally, because I get to make a living off the gospel now, which for 21 years I didn't. For 21 years I worked my own job. Somebody came to me the other day and said, I want to get in the ministry. I want to make a living off the ministry. And I said, well, Nance, can you do me a favor? Yeah. Grab my glasses off of there. And I said, well, for 21 years, I was a youth pastor, I was a worship leader, I worked in the ministry, and I got a little stipend once in a while from Brother Billy. He actually gave me money to go buy a suit at Jen's one time, because I was, like, I'd come in here in shorts and a t-shirt, you know, long hair and a beard and everything. Hey, you guys are doing that again. Anyways, but you know what? Sometimes it just takes time to develop what God has offered for you in your life. But we're so thankful that you are givers and that you give from your heart. And so, Father, we just thank you for this offering. Pray that you bless the givers, Lord. We don't have to ask you to bless them because you already will bless them, because you said that you would just bless them running down, running over, when you give unto them, Lord. And we just thank you for the giving, the provision. Thank you for our pastor coming back, a safe trip for him and his family to come back to us tonight. And we just thank you for this week of Canal Fest, that all the people that signed up for it, Lord, and even ones who are going to go back there today after the service and fill in the rest of the blanks, we thank you for their service, Lord, for their hearts to come and just be part of a blessing that you've given to us, to be able to help Walgreens, but also to make finances for our Vacation Bible School. We just thank you for all that you're doing for us, and we just give you the glory and honor for it in Jesus' name.